chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 16 through 24. Bible says, be joyful always. Even when you're sitting in church and it's hot. Right, Mike? Yes. Amen, amen. Be joyful always. Pray continually. We'll come back to that another day. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what Aaron was talking about, that big old seat on his bike the other day. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Can I get a witness on that? Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Test everything. Test everything and hold on to what's good. Oh, we can spend some time there. We're just going to keep on moving on. It says avoid every kind of evil. I hope you are. This is what we're going to focus on today. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you're mighty and awesome, Lord, knowing that there is healing in your touch, Lord, Lord, that you meet us here, that you hear our prayers, Lord, that you are aware that it's blistering hot out there. Lord, you not just in temperature, Lord, but there is all kinds of temperature in our lives, Lord. There is humidity, Lord, that just surrounds us, Lord, in the shape of people and jobs and the price of gas and the price of food and just all kinds of stuff, Lord. But through it all, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just guide us. Lord, that you would mold us and shape us. And we will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to be shaped by God this morning? Do you want to be touched by God? Because sometimes it can be less than comfortable. I remember going to my friend's. I don't remember his name. I was so young. I think I was 9 or 10 years old. Chris Arizaga. Yeah, that was his name, Chris Arizaga. In Imperial Valley, and went to his house, and his mom was making tortillas. Yeah. And I am telling you, now, we got some people around here whose mom makes tortillas, amen? Yeah. Amen? Now, I went to this lady's house, man, and she was cranking these tortillas out. I mean, how long does it take to make a tortilla when you know what you're doing? A couple seconds, right? You just crank them out? Yeah. Just boom, man. And she is just going. Now, I took that picture. I know you guys are going, that's a factory tortilla. Yes, that is a factory tortilla. But this is what them tortillas were looking like that his mom was making. And I said, being, you know, stupid kid, hey, can I make one? Well, like about 10 minutes later, you know, I'm working on this thing, and it's looking more like a brick than a tortilla. You know, it's kind of fat in the middle, kind of square, you know. And I'm like looking at this thing like, what's going on, you know? And she just grabs that thing, and in about, you know, I don't know, 6-7 seconds, just, and look, just like that. And so as we talk about God sanctifying us through and through, he is the shaper of our lives, right? He is the shaper of our souls. And we come to him like my tortilla. Kind of like a brick, you know, and it's kind of fat in the middle and just all messed up. And the Lord says, I'll work on you if you'll let me. Amen? It says right there, he says, may God himself, may the creator of the universe, you know, Pastor Paul was talking about the 100 million angels that are up there singing and worshiping God. Amen? God himself. May that God, may our God himself come and touch you. Amen. Let him shape you. Let him cleanse you. Let him sanctify you a little bit, cleaning you up a little bit more each day, getting you a little bit more perfect day in, day out. Paul says, that's what my prayer is for this Thessalonian church. That is what my prayer is for you today, that God would begin to do a new work in you. God takes what is misshapen in our lives and begins to bring order to it. Yesterday, we're a little worse off than we were today. God is doing a thing. It takes a lot of work. Amen, Balthazar? Amen. But God's the best. Amen. And it says that he'll take carried on until its completion. We're in a series called Lining Up on the Lord. And as we line up on the Lord, we get more and more focused on him, and more of the garbage in our lives is pulled off. And we're going to talk about Abraham today. Now, everybody know about Abraham? Yeah. Now, we're going to go back 4,000 years to the call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 13, and 14. His name at that point is Abram. Now, I might call him Abraham. Don't call me a heretic. You know, God actually changes his name from Abram to Abraham. I'm going to try and say Abram. I don't want you to be confused by Abram. It's the same guy, Abram, Abraham, amen? And God is going to prepare to do an incredible work in his life, just like God would do an incredible work in your life. And so we're going to go back 4,000 years, and we're going to talk about being prepared for more than what we've got. Are we good? Are we good? I need to get that. All right, okay. All right. Back to Genesis chapter 12. This is the call of Abram. It is famous, okay? He's got calls and verifications of the calls. You take a look at Genesis chapter 12 through, I don't know, chapter 30, something like that. You know, bleeds over into his kids after a while. But the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country. How would you like to get a phone call from God? Have him say, leave your country. How many of you would find that challenging? I told my wife, guess what, hon? God has called us to Mexico. And she said, what? Said, leave your country. And her mom, who's sitting right here today, said, what? And her sister, anyway, all of them said, yeah, what? Anyway, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I'm going to show you. Challenging, amen? I will make you into a great nation. Ooh. That sounded pretty good. Yeah? I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. It's getting better and better. Amen? When you get into the plan of God, it gets better and better. Amen? There is a challenge on the front end. Hon, have we got past the challenging part yet? No, it's always challenging, but it does get better and better. Amen? I says, you're going to be a blessing. I'm going to bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. I got your back, God says. He says, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. God makes Abram an offer. God makes Abram an offer, and it is such an incredible opportunity. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to make your name great. That sounds good, doesn't it? He says, in addition to that, you're going to have to leave everything you know. So, a credible opportunity, an incredible challenge. And this is a life-changing moment for Abram. It is a life-changing moment because Abram says, okay. If Abram says no, nothing changes. Many of us have become accustomed to telling God no. And because we tell God no, nothing changes. Ever changes. Things change for Abram because he leaves. He left just the way that God told him to leave. Things change for Abram because he begins to live a life of trusting God. Now, when you trust God, you will not be bored. Can I get a witness on that? Because guess what? God doesn't ask you to do easy stuff. God does not call you up in the morning and say, Charles, go immediately to McDonald's and get a large coffee. Yes, Lord, I shall go. Make the great big journey to McDonald's. No, man. God tells you to go to Mexico. We lived a mile from her sister. I don't want to go. Actually, that was coming here. She didn't want to come here either. Life-changing moments. Abram picks up his family and follows the plan of God. When you follow the plan of God, you get close to God. And that's what we're after today. Amen?
Amen.
When you follow the plan of God, you get close to God. All right. We go to verse 6, chapter 12, same verse. We're just skipping verse 5, okay? Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh in Shechem. Okay, that's kind of a northern part of Israel. At that time, Canaanites were in the land. We'll talk about Canaanites just for a minute. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Like, hey, I'm in the right spot. It says, he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him, and from there he went. Would you not love the Lord to appear in this building right now? Would that be a life-changing moment for you? This was a life-changing moment for Abram. God appears to him, and from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. God stays close. Man, he called him 300 miles. 300 miles, you might be thinking, hey, that's not much. 300 miles is like Bakersfield, right? Eh, Bakersfield, Schmakersfield. But I'll tell you what, when you're walking, Bakersfield's a bit of a haul, amen? If you're walking, anybody want to walk to Escondido today? Anybody want to walk to Kearney Mesa? Oh, yeah, Balthazar, okay. Man, I don't want to walk to Kearney Mesa. I don't want to walk to El Cajon Boulevard, right? So Abram says, hey, Abram leaves his country, goes 300 miles, ends up at the spot and says, God says, you're here. And it's one of those well done, good and faithful servant moments. Amen? When you begin to follow the plan of God, sometimes it'll be challenging. But God is where? God is close. And God will give you one of those, hey, you're in the right spot. It's like, don't look like much, but I'm close. Amen? See, when you follow the plan of God, God stays close. You get the presence of God, the power of God, the provision of God, the plan of God. When you're about the things of God, he is for you. He says to Abram, you follow me and I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. He shows up, God appears to him, and he makes an altar. Now, I was thinking about an altar. And I'm thinking, what's an altar look like? You know? And it's like, well, what does an altar look like? He built something. I don't want to freak anybody out. He built an altar. It's something like a shrine. Okay, there's no idols or anything with it. It was a place for worship. It was a place. He made a place where he could call out. He called on God's name. What do you think he called out? He said, God, you are so awesome. Man, I was so scared the last 300 miles. You know how far you can walk in a day? 10 miles. 30, if you're going to walk 10 miles a day, it's 30 days walking with all your stuff. You ain't going to probably make 10 miles a day walking with all your stuff. Lord, all my stuff, all the bandits, all the stuff, I've been freaking out. And I get to where you called me to when you meet me here. And there's this verification. I am on track with God. I am in the plan of God. I am growing close to God. And Abraham is doing backflips, man. He says, hey, stop. We're going to have church. I'm making an altar. We're going to make a sacrifice. We're going to worship God. We're going to have a feast. We're going to just kick back for a week or 2 weeks or however long, and we are going to celebrate the goodness of God. Amen? I am hoping that you have a place like that in your home. Abram built many altars. There is five recorded altars. There could be more that he built where he would go and he would sacrifice and he would have church. Amen? Now, I up here, you can use these altars. I hope you do. Because God does something unique when we're in a setting like this. We've got the music and we got the people of God. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am right there with you. Amen? Says, you can ask anything you want. I will do it. There is something that is unique that happens in this place. And these altars right here can be a life-changing place for you. Just in the same way that altar that Abram built was a life-changing place for him. And it wasn't because of the place. It was because who he met there. Amen? I hope you have a place where you can worship God and meet God in your home. Some people are very adept at worshiping God in their car. And they would turn off their radio and they drive every day to Escondido and back and they just meet with God. And their car is an altar. It might be a place where you walk. It might be someplace. But I hope you have, it might be Cowles Mountain for Rocky. The whole thing, God, meet me. Hallelujah. I know it would be Aaron. God, please God, get me up Cowles Mountain. Please God. Give me a seat, Lord, big, fat, cushy seat. I hope you have a place like that. Because if you don't, it is going to be incredibly difficult for you to stay on the plan of God and stay close to God and synced up to God because you don't have any places to mark down where God speaks to you. You don't have a place to make time for God to speak to you. Amen? Talk about this altar. I did some math last night, 23 years ago, a Sunday night service, and a guy was preaching on ministry, and he said, God is going to speak to some of you tonight, and he spoke to me. There was, I don't know, 2,500 people there that night. He said, God is speaking to your heart. I want you to come down here, and probably 300 to 400 people came forward that night in Sacramento, and we came to the altar. And I said, and I just felt that God was calling me to serve him just with my whole life. And I said, God, I will serve you. Please don't send me to a boring, white, middle-class church. You sent us to Mexico. You sent us to inner city in Sacramento. He sent us to South Sacramento. And he sent us here. I've been bored one day. And through that, being in the plan of God, right? He has been molding me and shaping me every day. And as you get in the plan of God, he will mold you. You know, I have men come up here and share. Oftentimes what God is doing with them, and I have no clue. Roku will get up here and speak, and Aaron will speak, and Pastor Scott and Pastor Paul, and you can see them being shaped by God. Amen? Amen? I celebrate the fact that many of you are being shaped. And the devil will come. You guys are teaching. You're doing worship. You're doing cooking. Christina and Ann are going to be doing some cleaning and painting downstairs. We want to paint the fellowship hall. You can be involved with that. And as you get into the plan of God, he will shape you. He's shaping Mike back there with his paper going, oh, it's so blazing hot. Being shaped by God. And you're seeing it in your life too, right, Mike? Amen. Amen. God's doing great things. Are we good? Yeah. All right. God's plan is a challenge. Can I get a witness, Mike? Amen, yes. Now, there was a famine in the land. Now, this is Israel. Well, I guess Canaan, I guess you could say. 4,000 years ago. Now, we've got some drought going on in our country, right? And food prices are going to go crazy high, you know. Hey, I'll tell you what. Famine here doesn't look like anything like famine 4,000 years ago in Canaan. Can I get a witness on that? It says, there was famine in the land. Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. God, when God calls you, he's going to call you to trust him. You know, he's going to call you to something hard. He's not going to call you to something easy. He's going to call you to something in which you have to grab onto him and continue to move through the challenges of your life. And oftentimes he will call you to difficult things. Amen? Now, I don't know what was causing this famine in Canaan. It could have been drought, could have been pest, could have been something. But they would eat seeds. You guys have heard of roasted grains, right? They would eat roasted grain. I mean, if you think of like oatmeal would probably be like the best thing that there was back in the day. You're talking about roasted wheat. How many of you guys ever ate roasted wheat? Just kernels of wheat? No. Or rye? Or barley? Oh, yeah, that's good. Just have a bowl of raw roasted barley and just eat it like nuts. And then in the morning, they'd have a meal maybe like about 11 o'clock, and they would have bread. They'd have bread with every meal. And you'd really be living it up. You'd be dipping that bread in some olive oil. Whew, I don't know if I can handle it all, right? For dinner, you got the same thing, except you would have stew. Now, stew is not like the stew you know. Stew is not like the stew that Gene brings to our potlucks and stuff. No, this would have been, you know, like some soup. And there would have been one bowl, and everybody would dip their bread in it. Ooh. And they would have the roasted seeds. And maybe, because they had no transportation per se, they had no refrigeration, maybe you would luck out and have a fig or a date. Now, that's just when times were good. Can you imagine what it would have been like when there was famine? Oh, we're starving. We don't have any seeds today. It's not like it was back then, like it is today. Abram says, I'm out of here. He says, I'm going to go on down to Egypt. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says anything about Egypt for Abram. Right? I mean, he's in the place. Hey, you made it. I'm going to give this land to your offspring, to your children, to your descendants. I'm going to make your name great and all this kind of stuff. And he says, man, there's famine here. I am out of here. There was Canaanites there too. Canaanites were incredibly sinful people. And the Canaanites and the famine made it difficult for Abram to really serve the Lord. Do you find that sometimes there's some people around you that make it a little difficult to serve the Lord? Oh, yeah, there's always going to be somebody around. Why? Because God calls us to trust him. He says, I'm not going to call you someplace easy. I'm going to call you someplace where me and you are going to do a work. I'm going to call you to a place. When you get close to the plan of God, you're going to get close to the presence of God. You're going to get close to the hand of God. Does this make sense? He goes down to Egypt. There's no plan for Abram and God with God in Egypt. Abram's going his own way. And I'm sure Abram's just going, hey, I'm just doing what I gotta do. Anybody relate to that? I'm just doing what I gotta do. I'm just doing what I gotta do to get by. I'm gonna go on my own. And Abram begins to make up his own rules. Now, am I talking to anybody in here today? Because sometimes we just gotta do what we gotta do, and we just start shooting from the hip. When we leave the plan of God, we leave the presence of God. We begin to squeeze him out of our life because we're going our own way. That's what Abram did. Let's take a look at what happens to him. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, she's also called Sarah. God gives her a new name. And he says, Sarai, I realize that we are heading down to Egypt, and it could be dangerous down there, but I'll tell you what, girl, I got my crew. We are going to protect you. You do not have to worry, because I have your back. I am not going to allow one bad thing to happen to you. Is that what the Bible says right there? No. He says, we're going to get ready to go to Egypt, and he says, I know that you are a babe, hon. Says, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and these guys are not going to like, they're going to want you, and they're not going to like me very much. So, let's tell them you're my sister. That's smart. He's going his own way. He says, let's not tell him you're my wife. Let's tell them you're my sister, because then they'll kill me, but they'll let you live. Say you're my sister so that I'll be treated well. Boy, isn't that big of Abram? I'm going to put you at risk so I'll be treated well. You know where Sarai ends up? Sarai ends up in Pharaoh's harem. You guys know what happens in harems? Not things you want happening to your sister or your wife. Can I get a witness on that? Sarai goes into Pharaoh's harem, and Abram's getting paid. He's getting livestock and camels and donkeys and slaves. And Sarai is on her own. Sound like he's working the plan of God? Oftentimes, when we start working our own plans, we start squeezing God out of our plans. And that whole sanctification and preparation and shaping and fashioning process in our lives stops, because when you move away from the plan of God, you move away from the presence of God. And there is no room for God in your life. Abraham was losing the presence of God. And that can happen to us as we start making it up as we go. We make poor choices. Can I get a witness on that? We make bad choices, and all of a sudden things go from good to worse. If we got an altar, we stop using it. We stop meeting with God. And you can see the difference in your life. Amen? Pat came down. I came out yesterday, and I started laughing because I saw... a new coffee pot. Now, Lisa's family is a big thing about coffee. Half of them work at Starbucks. You know, they're purists, and they got to have fresh ground. They got to have the right mix and all that kind of stuff. So I just start laughing, and Pat goes, I'm down to 25% caffeine. I said, really? Why? She says, heart palpitations. I'm like, heart palpitation, you know? And she goes, oh, your heart just starts beating like crazy. I said, really? I go, what's it feel like? Heart beating like crazy, like bam, 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 bam in your chest. Now, would that get your attention? Like, whoa, I'm having a heart attack right here in the middle of my chest, man, whoa. And she did all this research, and she found out that it was the caffeine that was causing her heart to go psycho in her chest. Right? So what's she doing? She's making some changes. And she found the right mix, so she travels with her own coffee pot. Why? So she won't have a heart attack. When your life is out of control, it will let you know. When you start making poor choices, and start, even Abraham, who responded to the call of God, was lined up on the Lord, felt the presence of God, started making poor choices, moving away from the Lord, it started getting out of control. Lost the presence of God in his life. That can happen to us. All of a sudden, there's no more godly changes, because we've made choices that squeeze God out of our life. Amen? All right, last point. Abraham gets back in the plan. Aren't you glad that you can get back in the plan of God? Aren't you glad that God's plan is big enough to have a couple of entry points for you? Amen? It says, from the Negev, which is down in the south of Judea, down south of Jerusalem, from the Negev, big desert, he went back from place to place until he came to Bethel. And to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar, where God had appeared to him. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram heads back to the altar. Now, I got to think that God, or Abram called on the name of the Lord before when God had appeared to him. And I think that the call that went out at this point is entirely different than that first time. Where that first time was, oh God, we're so good. God, it is so good to get to follow your plan and come this 300 miles and to put everything at risk and to have you meet me here and have you speak truth into my life and to say that this is my land and the land of my ancestors, and you're going to make me this, to reaffirm everything in my life. See, he left Egypt rich. He was paid off. Sarai was at risk, but God protected her. God protected Abram. God sent disease on the Egyptians. And you know, disease. You know, how are you going to tie that up to Abram and to Sarai? Because God told Pharaoh, it's her. And Pharaoh calls in Abram, man, have I not paid you off? Why did you lie to me like this? And the pagan is cursing the man of God because the man of God is working his own plan. And he kicks him out of Egypt. He's saying, well, he came out of rich. I guess that worked out well. Does that look like it worked out well for him? He's going from place to place. His money's not buying him happiness. How many of you, I mean, I'll tell you what, I was looking for a mugshot because I wanted to get a mugshot for something tonight, today. And I, you do a search on the internet, you know, for mugshots. You know who's in mugshots on the internet? All the rich and famous. I mean, it don't matter if Pastor Paul's, I don't know, God, he's probably ever been in jail. But he don't make the Google search. I didn't make the Google search. But there's Bill Murray and there's all these other guys. All the rich and famous whose lives are crumbling. They got all the money. But they got no peace. They got no happiness. They're not in the plan of God. I mean, there's some rich people that are. But Abram missed it. He got a bunch of money. I don't want you to misunderstand his wealth for his happiness and his peace. Because it says he was traveling from place to place and he couldn't find. He had so much stuff. The ground could not support him. His wealth was a weight. And he had no peace. And he went back to the place between Bethel and Ai, where he built the altar. And he calls upon the name of the Lord. And I think he's saying, God, how far have I fallen? I lied to my wife. I am a stench to the entire nation of Egypt. Am I a stench to you as well? And God meets him at that altar. That's why it's so important for you to have an altar someplace or several. Because when you start shooting from the hip and you start making your own rules and you start going your own way and you start getting away from the plan of God and you start getting away from the presence of God, you can come by that altar and you can say, oh God, how far have I come? How far lost am I too far gone for you? And God meets him in that place. And there is a transforming moment in Abram's life where he reconnects with God. And God begins that fashioning process and the procedure, that sanctifying work in Abram's life. Challenge is still coming. But Abram is entirely different. God would change you. God, some of you are so radically transformed from the first time that you walked into this place and you are in the challenges and you are persevering through the challenges. Aaron was talking about perseverance today. You're persevering through the challenges and God is shaping you and homing you and you are becoming familiar with the presence of God. All right, we're going to jump to the end of chapter 14. Missed a couple of those. Chapter 14, 12 and 22 and 23. We were just reading at the very beginning of 13, so we got a whole chapter, all this stuff going on. They're in the land. Abram has met with God. Lot is with him. Lot is over there lined up on Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot is still messed up. Abram is transformed. He says, and just tell you what happens as well. There is four kings that come from Babylon and come over and they invade the whole Jordanian plain. And they just work, and they're just plundering and killing everybody. They don't get Abram, but they get Lot. And they take all of Lot's possessions and all of Lot's women and all of Lot's people, and they take Lot. And they take him away. And Abram runs after him. Abram takes, there's four armies from Babylon. Abram takes 318 guys and chases down the four armies. This is from the guy who lied on his wife so that he'd be treated better. Abram is transformed. Amen? It says, Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. I have taken an oath. See, that's what I think what happened when he came back to the temple, back to the altar between Bethel and Ai, that he raised his hands toward God, the creator of earth. I've taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. He said, I got something better going on. He came back. Abram's now lined up on the Lord. Abram is transformed in his heart and in his soul because he calls out to God at that altar and says, oh God, is there any way I can get back lined up on you because of the choices he had made? Some of you guys are lined up on the Lord. You are feeling his presence. You are in his plan, and you are growing day by day. And you see him shaping you, transforming your life. And it feels good. Amen? Some of you guys are going right now, man, it feels good. I am so different. I'm not that bricked out looking thing that I came in here as. God is shaping me. And you come into this place. And you come into the plan of God. And the more you work the plan, the closer you come to God. Now here's the thing. Come in here. And God will start fashioning you. And that is where we start. Amen? We come in here all messed up. Anybody come in here messed up? You know, and sometimes God starts fashioning you. You go, oh, this is not comfortable, God. And we go out and you come back, and you go out and you come back, and that describes some of you. We'll make a twist here. Hang with me, okay? Are you hanging? Lisa, why don't you come up here and play? As he is fashioning you from this ugly thing into this nice, pretty, fashioned, finished thing, you can think that this is it. You can think, I'm just getting all nice and prettied up. But that's not the focus. Because as he is fashioning you, you become accustomed to his hands. It's not so much what he's making you into, but that he is crafting you at all. And Abram responded to the call of God. He said, I'm going to do something incredible in you. And he responded, and then he said, this is so hard, and he couldn't off, and he came back. And what happened in Abram's life was he became accustomed to the touch of God. That's what you celebrate at the altar, folks. 23 years ago, God, I'll go wherever you send me. Please don't let it be boring. I'm getting older now. I don't think I could take boring. Let's pray. Lord, we come in here this morning, Lord. And there is a sanctifying work that you would do in each one of us, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, I thank you for those that work so hard. Lord, I thank you for Ramiro downstairs and the crew that he's got, and for the kitchen crew and the worship team and the teachers and the ushers and the youth guys and all that stuff, Lord. And Lord, what you accomplish in us, we thank you, Lord, but I thank you that you're doing the work. I thank you that as we come close to you, Lord, that we become accustomed to being molded by your hand like the potter and the clay, Lord. And that your touch and your presence, Lord, I want more of it. I want more of it, Lord. I want to trust you more. I want to lean on you more. And some of you this morning, some of you came up for prayer just thinking, oh, man, this is so hard. And you feel the Lord's hand upon you right now. I'm going to invite you to just come to this altar and you can celebrate the Lord's hand upon you. Maybe you come in here this morning and you've been working your own plan. You've been making some choices that have caused you to stray. And the presence of God is diminished in your life. And right now you feel it. Right now you're feeling not at all comfortable. And I want you to picture the second time Abram comes to the altar, Bethel and Ai, and he says, oh, Lord, oh, I long for your presence. I long for your touch, Lord. I long for the way that it used to be, Lord. These altars right here. Come and meet with God. And maybe you're just here and you got the challenge and you're saying, Lord, I'm with you, but Lord, it is so hard. It's so hard. I need your touch. I need to know you're here. I need a well done, good and faithful servant. I need an attaboy. I need to know I'm in the right spot because, Lord, I'm so dry. I want you to put your arms around me. You're here this morning. And you want to make an altar. Lisa's going to sing in just a minute. You want to make an altar. Where you would see God high and lifted up. And there's a million angels just around there singing his name. You want to make an altar because you want to praise him for being so close. You want to make an altar because there's some distance there that you're not at all content with anymore. You want to make an altar because the challenge is so great that you're in the midst of right now that you just need a touch from God. Lisa's going to sing this song. That's you. Just want to make that altar. I just want you to just stand where you're at. And I just want you to just raise your hands and say, Lord, Lord, see me, your servant. See me right where you're at. You just want to make an altar. I just want you to stand right where you're at. Stand right where you're at. Put your hands up and say, oh, Lord, I need you to be close to me. Just raise your hands up. We're going to sing this song and just make an altar where you're at and say, oh, Lord, Lord, you, Lord, I need to know that you're right here, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are right here, Lord. I want to celebrate your goodness. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate the goodness of God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.